hear from heaven and help guide and direct TGP. And so we pray, Lord, that you would anoint his words, that you would give him insight, clarity of thought, clarity of speech, Lord, and that we would have our ears open to hear what the Spirit would say to TGP this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. How y'all doing? We have some sick this morning, Bruce, Nancy, and Pat. I'd like to pray for them right now before we even get started. They got that flu thing going on. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that we can pray for Pat and Bruce and Nancy. And Father God, bring them to recovery quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The question we might ask ourselves is, you know, why isn't God doing all this healing? And I want to start this message, and actually this was just revealed to me a couple days ago, how to start this. And we'd have to see that man's heart can come very, very cold. Man has a capability of being very, very cold to God. And what the Holy Spirit revealed to me in Revelation chapter 9, and really in God's judgment was on the face of the earth. And guess what? We were the body of Christ, the Christians were already gone. And now he was dealing with the people left on earth. And their hearts became very cold, to the point that he was casting judgments on mankind, that his intent was to lead them into repentance. And that final judgment was, imagine this, imagine a third of the world's population dying. You know what that tells me? It tells me that everybody that was left probably knew somebody that died. And what was the response of mankind on the earth when that happened? Well, there are several things that happened. It says in that chapter that one thing, their works of their hands. They were all about self. I can handle everything. Everything. And they were worshiping demons. And that might say that they fully were engaged in believing a lie. Fully convinced at untruth, at lies. They made idols of gold and silver, bronze, stone, and wood. They put before themselves substitutes to God Almighty. And it was all about the things that they possessed and the things they had. Jesus one time says, life does not consist of the things that you possess. They made idols. And then they would not repent of murders. You know, it's amazing. Life became less value. And we have signs of that right now. There's not a thought about abortion. There's not a thought about life. And we're seeing the beginnings of that. We're seeing the beginnings of that. And then they wouldn't repent of magic arts, which actually includes drug use. That whatever it takes to give me a high, whatever it takes to make me happy, I'll take it. Whether it's prescription or illegal drugs. Then they wouldn't repent of sexual immorality. You know, you know what? The model out there in our country and throughout the world, and if Hillary's listening, she's involved in some countries that are just prostituting young children. And they would not repent. Because today, in our society, We've been so bombarded with the lie that sex before marriage is okay. It's there. It's there. It's prevalent in our society where there doesn't seem to be any condemnation about it. It's just normal. And thefts. I have what you have. I want what you have, and I'm okay to do anything to get it. That's where they were after one third of the world's population died. And it didn't even affect them. Why am I sharing this? Because in John 10:10, it talks about Jesus saying all the mode of operation of the enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know, if we had a time to really have a long message about this, because that's not my intent, it's a set of stage here, that you can see stealing, killing, and destroying in all the non-repentive acts of the people in the book of Revelation. You could see that his work was fully received in the population of the world. But he didn't win the victory. And God's kindness and mercy is in judgment. But what I want to highlight today is the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said he can, that you might have life and life in the fullest. That's what I want to emphasize this morning. He came that you might have life and life in the fullest. And that brings me to a verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Knowing all these things, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. And when I saw that this week, sometimes my mind would go to be a conqueror. I want to be a conqueror. But I never got the through. How do you become a conqueror? By elevating your heart towards his love for you. The higher your heart is towards his love for you, the more you'll experience conquering. And you know what? He said we're more than conquerors because all of us in life have something to conquer. And the power behind conquering is elevating and acknowledging his love for us. Now, how'd that work out in my life? How'd that work out in my life? You know, I just took some time this week. We have some temporary help at our work. And temporary help sometimes can be devalued and say, well, they're temporaries. But you know what? To me and to God, they're not temporary. There are people in our organization that are found there to know the grace and love of God. Well, one of our temporary helpers, he made an announcement. He missed a couple of days. He said, my wife got very sick. I went into the hospital and found out that she has cancer. Within 6 weeks, she passed away. And I found out about that. I couldn't stay in the front office with that knowledge. But I went back where he was working. I said, hey, man, I'm praying for you. And I gave him a hug. And he started to cry. Maybe you need a hug today from the Almighty. Now, where does healing come into this? Because the enemy wants to diminish what God wants to do. We walk by faith, not by sight. We can view things by sight, and that will destroy faith. But faith brings about its reward. Now, I'm not going to bring out all my stuff because I lived a life, a sinful life. And when I came, encountered Jesus Christ, and I found somebody that loved me, I went before him and received him in my life, and I wept before him. And you know what the scripture says? If you've been forgiven much, you'll love much. So on my journey as a servant of Jesus Christ and following him in my life, the first area of healing came from an internal thing that somebody was facing. One day I came to work, and somebody came to my office and says, the maintenance man's not here. He didn't show up. I said, well, yeah, what happened? He's so there. He's proud of never missing a day. What happened? What happened? So I found out later on that day that his son in high school, Niles, was approached by another student that drove a knife through his stomach. And he was in intensive care and under surgery. And what I found out later, the surgeon said if it was this much over, it would have severed his artery and he would have come in here dead. Well, Tony came to work then a couple days later, and I went to visit him to let him know I was praying, and I saw a man so gripped with anger and wanted revenge. And I knew there was a God that could heal that. There was a God that took a sinner like me and brought me into relationship. And I had to lead him into the love of God. I spent time, every day I went back and I said, Tony, I would 100% agree with you. You can't forgive that young boy that almost took the life of your son. But I know a God that can transform your life. I know a God that can heal that. And over time, God healed Tony of that revenge and anger and brought salvation into his life. First, it was healing, asking the God of the universe to heal the greatest pain and anguish in our life. And he will. As we elevate how greatly he loves us. Then time went by, and I was driving home, and I got a word of knowledge. And we're going to be talking about that a little later. Got a word of knowledge. Go to your mother. She needs you now. I said, well, I'll just do that, because you know me, I take orders from headquarters. So instead of coming home, I went to their home in Aptekissick Road, and I walked in, and the caretaker said, oh, I'm glad you're here. Pete was still at work, and he said, I'm glad you're here. Your mom's in the back room, and she can't get out of bed. She's in so much pain. Right away, I knew my assignment. And we're praying. We in a prayer room, I was saying, Lord, give the team Holy Spirit hearing aids to hear what God's going to do here. So I take an order, head toward, came on, oh, she's in the back room, and she can't get out of bed. Okay, now I know my assignment. So I went to the back room, and she looked at me, and said, oh, honey, I'm so much pain, I can't get out of bed. I said, well, the Lord sent me here. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal my mom right now. You know what? I thought God was a chiropractor. Because all of a sudden, as soon as that prayer, we heard a big, loud bang in her body. And she was just still, boom. I said, get up, Mom, you're healed. And she jumped out of bed and she says, hey, can I make you dinner? Can I fix it? I said, no, Nancy's got everything done at home. That's fine. And then the journey goes on. And then my father had to have some surgery, corrective surgery. And he got some tainted blood from the hospital, and he came out of that surgery fine, but he had hepatitis. And his face would turn yellow and everything else. And I'm heading home every time something happens. You know what? And remember, we have a destination too, our heavenly home, and we're headed there. In that journey, he gives assignments. So I go see your dad. This time it was a little clearer. I'm going to heal him. You just go. So I went home, went in the back room where he was recovering from his surgery, all yellow in his face. I said, got good news for your dad. Got hit orders from headquarters. I would tell him that all the time. He said, okay, son, whatever it is, yep, God's going to take care of you today. So I put my hands on his head. I said, Father, you know, sometimes it's a good idea to keep your eyes open when you're praying. It's okay. There's no special way. So I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal my dad. And instantly, his yellow face turned to flesh. And he went back. Peter knows about that. He went back, checked it out. Hepatitis was gone from his body. Then time goes on. You get this idea of having God's hearing aids in you and hearing more what he has for you. And it gets to become an exciting journey to hear from him and then do what he says. You know, that is a beautiful level of obedience. When he said, I want you to obey me. God tells us things in our lives to do. And the question is, are we or are we not? You know, and I just learned to just jump into it. So I got a call one time. I got a call one time that this friend of mine, that actually I used to meet at Adler Park where our old church was, every week with him, because he was struggling with alcoholism. And I knew God was going to set him free. So we would meet and we just declare that. And he got totally free. And he's the one that called me and said, my mom's at the hospital here in Libertyville. And the doctors asked me to disconnect her from life support because there was no chance. Let her go. And he called me. He said, something in my spirit said, call you. You know, Holy Spirit is so cool because he works through all of us. And I'm glad he obeyed to call me. And I talked to him briefly. He said, this is the case. And I can't sign this paper. I'm really struggling with this. Could you pray for me? I said, Chuck, man, I'll pray for you. And I'll come there. He said, no, don't come here. Just pray for me. So I know what to do because I'm struggling in letting my mom go. I'm really struggling. So we prayed briefly on the phone, and 2 days later, I was driving home again, and Holy Spirit says, it's time now. Go see Chuck's mom. I knew something. He didn't pull the plug. Or else I'm not hearing right, one or the other. So I went home, went to the hospital, went to the front counter, and I said, I'm here to see so-and-so. And they said, well, I'm sorry. She's intensive care. You can't see her. The family's gone. And I said, you know, I was thinking to myself, I got orders from headquarters. I'm going to see this person. Even though I'm being blocked by the front, I'm going to see this person. And out of the corner of my eye, you know, in the hallway is basically blank, but all of a sudden walked up a nurse from who knows where. She just came there, pointed at the lady at the front desk, and said, he can come with me. And then she looked at, wow, okay, fine. You know, they didn't even give me a badge. She just said, with authority, he can come with me. And that's really the only words this nurse ever spoke in this whole story. So I followed her, and that nurse took me right to the bedside of Chuck's mom. And I sat there and I'm saying, man, this is really, you know, I thank you, Lord, for hepatitis being healed. I thank you, God, that you're a miracle working chiropractor. But this is a little more. This is a woman that they said without life support would die. But you called me here. You called me here. I don't know about you. Sometimes you go through your spirit, why me? Why me? You know, I just don't understand it all. But I'm willing to do what he says. So I held her hand, spent a few moments there, and that nurse stood at the foot of the bed, smiling at me. And I said, I whispered in her ear this, Father, heal her for the sake of her children and grandchildren. She was an absolute Irish Catholic. And then I kissed her on the forehead, and the nurse is still smiling ear to ear, but not saying anything, and I left the room. My assignment was finished. As I left the room and glanced back, no more nurse. Psh, gone. And I was saying to myself, wow, what just happened here? This is surreal. This is craziness. Went home, talked to my wife, and got a call early in the morning. Chuck called me. Said, did you visit my mom yesterday, late afternoon? I said, yeah. He said, what did you do? I said, prayed for her. What did you pray? I prayed that she would be healed for the sake of her children and her grandchildren. He starts weeping on the phone. He said, I got a call late yesterday afternoon, and the nurse's station told me a man walked into her room, spent a few minutes, and left. And when he left, your mother woke up, and we had to disconnect everything. And she wanted to go home, but we said, you're going to have to stay here overnight, and your son can pick you up in the morning. You know, it's knowing how much God loves you. And in that great love, he can use all of us, right? He can use all of us. So you know, the sad part of that is, and the reason I think God told me to share this Revelation chapter, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the enemy never plays fair, does he? He never plays fair. And my heart ached for the information that I received in 2018, this year, early this year. Chuck, who called me, Chuck, who witnessed this miracle. In fact, for children and grandchildren, he called me about a year later and he said, because of that great miracle that God did, all my sisters, the children, all came to know Jesus. See, the prayer was, heal her for the sake of her children and grandchildren. I don't know why I said that, but I said it was that generation and the next generation. Heal her for the sake of her children and grandchildren. And including Chuck that got through really some big struggles in his life with alcoholism and everything else. But then his wife called me, Stephanie, and said, Byron, I got really heartbreaking news. Chuck committed suicide. You see, the enemy doesn't play fair. And he messes with you and I to try to bring doubt, despair, rejection, depression, all his tools to try to devalue your life. He wants to heal that too. And something happened with this man that saw his mother healed, saw the mighty works of God, saw deliverance from alcoholism, something triggered him to give up his life. The enemy doesn't play fair. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Then, finally, about a year or so ago, we have a farm in Indiana that we love to go to, and Ron, the guy who looks over our farm, called me and said, "Byron, you got to pray. My wife had a stroke, an aneurysm, and she's in Indianapolis Hospital, and she's in a coma, and she's not coming out of it." And I prayed with him. I put the phone down and got orders from headquarters. Said, "You know what? I can do it again. I can do it again. I did it for Chuck. I can do it again. But Byron, are you willing to get in your car and drive all the way to Indianapolis? I'm going to do it again." There was no question in my mind that get in my car and drive down to Indianapolis. We went there and saw, of all persons, her name was Grace. You know what? God's grace and unmerited favor is what allows all of us to be used for His glory. So, I met Ron at the hospital, and she was non-responsive. And we prayed a little bit, and you know, sometimes things don't happen right away, but I want to let you know they'll happen. They don't happen right away, but they'll happen. When you put things in the care of the loving hand of God, things happen. Though all the lies come against us from the enemy, "I won't do it. I'm not the God that's written in the scriptures." His truth prevails. So we went back to the farm, spent an afternoon together and the evening together. I took Ron out to dinner, and I said, "You know what, Ron, we're going to go back to the hospital on my way home back to Indianapolis. And we're going to see the hand of God. Do you believe that?" And Ron had gave an interesting comment. "Well, I hope so." You know, and hope is good. It's really, we got hope and love and faith, and that's all good, and but God wants all of them working together. And I said, "Well, we're gonna have to elevate this a little beyond hope." And so he followed me back to Indianapolis. We parked our cars, and we were walking down. I said, "Ron, do you believe Grace is gonna wake up today?" He said, "Well, I hope so." I said, "Yeah, yeah. A little more than that, Ron. I'm convinced that I follow a God, when I'm taking orders from headquarters, will do it." So we had this conversation all the way up. So we got to the floor because Grace had some really struggles going on. She was in a coma with pneumonia and MRSA. So we had to get up and look like doctors. We had to dress ourselves up and get the mask on and all that. In the meantime, while we were walking in there and getting prepared to go into her room, Holy Spirit says, "You know what? She's going to be well, and all you have to say is 'Good morning, Grace.'" And I said, "You know, God's not in a box. There's not a formula for getting healed. There's not, and he displayed that in his own life, throwing mud in people's eyes and telling a guy to jump in the water and all these kind of things. There was no specific mode of operation. So the Holy Spirit told me, just go and say, 'Good morning, Grace.' I knew the power of God would heal her. So we both go in the room, and Ron got on one side, I got on the other side of the bed. And taking orders from headquarters means exactly that. Don't subtract anything. Don't add anything. Just do what he says. You know what? That's not difficult for anybody in this room to just do what he says. No. Just do what he says. So we got, well, he goes on one side. You know, I should have been that guy because I almost, Ron needed to be caught. But so I walked in there quietly and just obeyed the Holy Spirit. Go face to face and say, good morning, Grace. So that's what I did. I went there, said, good morning, Grace. Guess what? You know, sometimes in Pentecost, guys think you got to shout really loud and do things and jump around. But you really don't have to do that. So just quietly, good morning, Grace. And Grace was sitting there with all the tubes. You ever seen somebody in life support? She went, as soon as I said good morning, she went, wow, amen, here's your husband. I'm headed back to Chicago, man. So, when I left, I guess they disconnected everything. The next day, she went home totally healed. And just being obedient to take orders from headquarters. Just do what he says. Do what he says. You know, we want to leave time for the ministry teams. You know, there's other stories I could tell. But I want to let you know, main thing, know in all things we are more than conquerors. You know what? Through the one that loves us. And as you and I elevate the love of God in our life, and acknowledge that his great love for you. You know, I was a big sinner, and he saved me. Who's ever been forgiven much, loves much. But you know what? Paul, even though as much as a quote-unquote righteous man he was, he even got to the place of understanding the love of God that even in all his righteousness were as filthy rags. They didn't mean he came to that place to acknowledge the great love of God. No matter what you're going through, you know, unless we have to conquer something, then we have nothing to go through. But when we go through things, we need to be conquerors. As I was telling Catherine, you know, we can't have a victim. We have to be victors. And when we go through, whether like Tony having lack of forgiveness, whether it's my dad by no means of himself received hepatitis, nor the two women that had aneurysms, no matter what it is, as we elevate God's love for us, he comes to rescue. He comes to rescue us. He comes to rescue us. And I want to remind you of something. There's nothing impossible for him. You know, we might view things as impossible. The staff in the hospital for Chuck's mom viewed it impossible for her to recover. The doctor said it was impossible for her to, after all, the doctor, man, they're a big authority figure, right? The doctor said. But you know what? When doctors say things, you have to look and see what God says about it. And there's nothing impossible for him. For all of us, he can do exceedingly above whatever we can ask or think. Whatever it is, take it to him. Take it to him. And out of his great, great, huge love and compassion over you and me, he'll set things in motion. He'll set things in motion. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I thank you, Lord, that you're amazing. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that your love for us so changes things. Father God, I ask you, Father, for all of us in this place, Lord, Father, that you would increase our knowledge of how much you love us. Father God, that none of us in this room, none of us, could ever be disqualified whom he is qualified. All of us qualified to do the works of the kingdom of God. Father God, asking you right now to increase our knowledge of how greatly you love us, to make us more than conquerors in life. Amen? Amen? Todd's going to be facilitating the healing part of the service in Jesus' name.